Thank you so much for joining us. We believe at Restoration Church that God wants to work and move powerfully in your life. We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at amen@r4sq.org. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
And welcome to 2017. Amen. How many of you are excited about the new year?
Yeah.
Yes. I tell you what, it's always exciting to start something new. And I'd like to remind you that God is not bound by any year or any season. He can move anytime. And God continues in 2017 what he began in 2016. But for us, a new year is a time to reprioritize. It's a time for us to rethink certain things in our lives and maybe push the reset button and maybe bring our lives a little bit more into focus, a little bit more into agreement with what God has spoken and said in his word. So I'm excited about this new year, and I believe that this is going to be a phenomenal year. Amen? 2016 was a good year, but I believe 2017 is going to be a great year. Amen? So let's decide that we're going to, by faith, enter into 2017 believing God for all the amazing things that he's promised us in his word. Amen? God bless you. Turn this morning to Luke chapter 4. We're going to begin our reading there today. I also want to take a moment and recognize our online viewers. Thank you for joining us today. Happy New Year to you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And I pray you enjoy your time with us this morning via the internet. Luke chapter 4. And today I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 15. You can follow on overhead behind me if you like. The scripture will be there. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to Jesus, "All this authority I will give you, and I'll give you their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all this will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall worship." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out throughout all the regions throughout all the surrounding region. I want to go back and I want to read verse 4 again. It said, "But Jesus answered him, the devil, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Stretch forth your hands towards me today. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of praise and worship that filled this house. Thank you, Father, for your precious Holy Spirit that comes and make known your amazing presence. Lord, I thank you for this people that have gathered in this house. They've come here, Lord God, seeking something from you. Be faithful to your people today. God, you alone see and understand the need of every person here. And you alone is able to meet those needs. So God, we yield ourselves to you, God, every one of us individually, because we don't want to limit you in what you want to do. We want to be open to the leading of your spirit in all things. So Holy Spirit, come now. Lead us in this time. Give us ears to hear the word of God. Give us a mind to understand. Give us a heart to receive. And God, give us the diligence and the ability to walk out what you speak to our hearts today. Holy Spirit, have your way in this house, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Angela. Well, today, as we start 2017, I'm going to be starting a series on the life of Jesus with a message entitled, Bread is Not Enough. Say that with me. Bread is not enough. In this series, we're going to look at certain aspects of Jesus' life that set him apart. Those things that he did and those things that he spoke and the way he lived that made him so different and so distinct from any man who's ever lived. With the understanding and with the belief that we too can emulate what we see in his life. And we too can become the things that God, the person, the people that God has called us to be. Now, I could spend every Sunday of my preaching days and speak about the life of Jesus and still not be able to cover, still not be able to say, share with you all that has been said about him. John, the beloved disciple, wrote in John 21:25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. There's so much about our Lord and Savior. What I want to look at today is a certain aspect of his life that involved discipline. Jesus was a disciplined son of God. Now, I know that that word discipline is a dirty word among a lot of Christians, but let it not be a dirty word in this church. Let us as a people not be afraid to allow the Lord to teach us and show us how to discipline our lives that we may live the way he'd have us live. How many of you want to be known by God? Not by man. But by God as a disciple of Jesus. How many of you want that? You want to be known by God as a disciple of Jesus. Well, to be Jesus' disciple, you must become disciplined in your pursuit of him. Amen. You must become disciplined in prayer, disciplined in fasting, disciplined in the study of God's word, disciplined in the things that you do for God, which causes so many of God's people to stumble. We do not understand the doing aspect of serving God. We have become such a consumer-minded people that it's all about what can I go and get, not what can I give. And as a child of God, every time you walk into the doors of this church, you should walk in saying, I'm gonna make a difference in the church today. I'm gonna make a difference in this service today. I'm gonna worship the Lord. I'm gonna lift my hands. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna be nice to people.
Amen.
I'm going to make a difference today. It's not in just what we do as far as reading and praying, but how do we serve? How do we serve? Jesus was very disciplined in his pursuit of knowing and fulfilling the will of God. Luke chapter 2, verses 46 to 49. Tells us that at the age of 12, Jesus was found in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. This 12-year-old kid astonished the Jewish leaders with the answers he gave them. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? You see, they've been looking for Jesus for something like 3 days. Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Jesus said to them, why did you seek me? This is a 12-year-old. Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Even as a child, Jesus sought to know and to do the will of God. Listen, he made God's business his business. Bread is not enough. As a child of God, you will never be satisfied until you're living out God's will. Because bread is not enough. What you consume in this life is not enough. What you eat in this life is not enough. How much time do we spend either eating or thinking about what we're going to eat? Bread is not enough. As one who's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, your life will feel empty no matter how full your belly become if you're not living out your God-given purpose.
Amen.
Bread is not enough. What this world has to offer will never be enough to satisfy you. Fulfilling the desires of your natural man will not sustain your joy. Living out the passions and pleasures of this world will be futile because you were created by God to glorify God in your mortal body. And anything short of that will leave you wanting. Luke writes, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Some of you are like, the devil's not real. That's spooky, Pastor. No, that's not spooky, that's scriptural. Not only is he real, he hates you. And he's going to tempt you and do everything he can to destroy your life. And if he cannot destroy your life, if he cannot make your life miserable, then he won't destroy your witness. So that you know you won't have any effect on anyone else. You got to realize we're not in this thing I'm not in this for just me alone. We're in this thing together. We've got to work together. We've got to come together. We've got to support each other. We got to encourage each other. Jesus was tempted by the devil, who's very real. The same devil tempted Jesus. Guess what? He tempts you. He fights you. He comes against you. But Luke says in those days, Jesus didn't eat nothing for 40 days. And at the end of those 40 days, he was hungry. Now, I want you to notice something about this encounter. The temptation of Jesus that Luke records came after a high point in the spiritual life of Jesus. He had just been baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit of God had descended upon him in the form of a dove. And after those things, he was led into the wilderness to be alone, to face temptation. That lets us know, church, that we must be on guard in times of victory just as much as in times of discouragement.
That's right. Amen.
If you think the only time the devil's going to tempt you is when you're discouraged, you're wrong.
That's right.
We can never let our guards down, because the devil will attack us at any time. Remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapters 18 and 19. After that great victory on Mount Carmel, where he defeated the 450 prophets of Baal. And after that defeat, he turned the hearts of the nation of Israel back to God. It was then that his life was threatened by Jezebel. And what did he do? He ran away in fear. After such great victory, after that victory, he faced his greatest temptation. Why? Because oftentimes, after the Lord has done something great through us, we find ourselves raw and open to attacks. I tell people one of the worst times to tell me something that you want me to remember is after I've just got done ministering. One of the worst times to hear something negative, unless it's connected to what has just been shared, is after I've just got done preaching. Because you're raw, you're open, and you're very sensitive to those things, good and bad. The devil will use any opportunity he can to violate your space and challenge your faith. He is real. He's not just a symbol or an idea, but he's a fallen angel who was created by God, who then rebelled against God. And he constantly fights against the Lord and against those who follow and obey him to stop the advancement of God's kingdom on earth. When Jesus came into this world as a man, he became the biggest threat Satan will ever face. So he tempted Jesus in order to stop God's word and stop God's will from being fulfilled. He said, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Jesus knew that bread was not enough. In Luke chapter 3, we find the genealogy of Jesus. And the last verse of that chapter, verse 38, says, he, speaking of Jesus, he was the son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. As the son of Adam, Jesus faced the same temptations as Adam. But as the son of God, he did what Adam could not do, and that was crush the head of the serpent by resisting all of his temptations. If you want to crush Satan's head under your feet, start by resisting his temptations. The same devil who at one temptation baffled and foiled our first parents of the flesh was unsuccessful in his temptation of Jesus. Because Jesus knew something that Adam and Eve did not know. He knew that bread is never enough. He knew that satisfying the flesh would mean defeat. You hear me? Satisfying your flesh, if it violates God's word, would mean defeat. So Jesus did everything within his power, not only to hear God's word, to know God's word, but also to live out God's word. There are two things, church, that should order the direction of your life. Two things. One, the word of God. And two, the will of God. Because Jesus knew the word of God, he was able to use God's word to live out God's will. Knowing and obeying God's word is an effective weapon against temptation. As a matter of fact, it is the only offensive weapon provided in your Christian warfare, in your Christian armor. Jesus used that weapon to counter Satan's attack, and we must do likewise. But to effectively use God's word, we must first know what he has promised us. Because listen, Satan also knows the word of God. And he's very adept at twisting the scriptures to suit his purpose. You better know. You better know. Because I guarantee you, he knows. Obeying God's word is more important than simply having a verse to quote. Obeying God's word is more important than simply having a verse to quote. Listen, please hear me. You're no longer in kindergarten. You're no longer in kindergarten. You got to hear that. Your kindergarten days are over. Your preschool days are over. You must become more diligent in your pursuit of God. 2017 can be an amazing year, but it depends on you. We got to stop playing with God. We got to stop playing with the things of God. We got to stop acting like it doesn't matter what we do or what we say. You're no longer in kindergarten. What you said and did as a baby Christian, you cannot say and do right now.
Amen.
Because God expects more of you.
Amen.
So the days of just blurting out God's word, just saying something because we've heard it, and thinking that's going to be enough, I believe those days are over.
Amen.
What do you believe? Do you believe what you're saying?
Yeah.
Do you believe what you know of God's word to say? Or are you just repeating what you've heard? You see, in kindergarten, you learn to repeat. Let me teach you your ABCs. Repeat after me, A, B, C. That's what you do. But then there comes the time when you're given the book and you're told, now go and study and learn for yourself. And then you come into the classroom and you demonstrate what you have learned. If you get serious about the things of God, I promise you, God is serious about you. You have to study God's word to rightly apply it to your life. When you do, the only offensive weapon that you have in your armor, which is the word of God, becomes sharp. God's word, what is written in the Bible, is what we live by. So if you hear anything from God or anything that's supposedly is of the Lord that is not in agreement with his word, just throw that stuff away. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, Jesus didn't speak what he felt. He spoke the word of God. Natural bread is not enough. Your diet must consist of the bread that comes down from heaven. Jesus said in John 6:27, "Do not labor for the food or the bread which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Bread is not enough. What this world has to offer is not enough. If 2017 is to be anything to you, let it be a year of you seeking to know God's word that you may live out God's will. Because you will not live out God's will if you don't know God's word. If you make that commitment, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you the power needed to withstand each and every temptation. Amen. Amen. In John chapter 4, we find the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. When his disciples came and found him talking to the woman, they did not know what to think of it, so they responded by saying, "Rabbi, eat something." In other words, something must be wrong with you. You must be hungry or something because you're talking to this woman in the middle of the day. You figured he must be hungry, maybe even a little delusional. But in John 4:32, Jesus replied by saying, "I have food to eat." They say, "Rabbi, eat something." Something must be wrong with you. You're talking to this Samaritan woman in the middle of the day and everybody sees you. You must be hungry. Eat something. "I have food to eat that you do not know of." Amen. What was he referring to? What was the food that he had that they did not know about? John 4 verses 33 and 34 tells us, "Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' Jesus answered them, 'My food is what?'" What was his food? "To do the will of my Father and to finish the work that he's given me." Come on. The food that he spoke about was spiritual nourishment. A nourishment that is more than Bible study, more than prayer and church attendance. Spiritual nourishment also comes from doing God's will and helping to bring God's work of salvation to completion. You got to become a part of that. As children of God, we're nourished not only by what we take in, but also by what we give out for God. Jesus came into the world to live out God's word and complete God's work. And his disciples come, and they find him at this well talking to this woman. He'd come to this well weary and thirsty. At the usual times of meal, so he probably was hungry. And his disciples, knowing this, they encouraged him to eat something because they were concerned about his natural body. But an opportunity to do good. An opportunity to not only change one person's life, but an entire region presented itself to Jesus. And he put aside his fatigue. He put aside his hunger to do the will of God, because he knew that bread, natural bread, is not enough. But doing God's will, forsaking our own personal needs, that became the Lord's bread, and that too can be your bread. Jesus' desire was to do the will of his Father. And that desire made him forget what his natural man wanted. If you don't get nothing else, please get that. When you desire God's will more than anything else, it will make you forget what your natural man wants. Because God wants you to live out his will. And he will give you the strength and the power that's needed. A power that goes beyond your natural mind. I remember years ago when I first got saved, there was this amazing woman of God that we knew named Sister Mary. And Sister Mary, she fasted all the time. She prayed all the time. This woman had a glow about her. And she was sharing one time about being on this 40-day fast. She said she was so hungry. But she said, God, I just want to do your will. I want to do your will. And she said, all of a sudden, the best fried chicken you could ever eat just dropped in her spirit. It was not a natural food. It was a supernatural nourishment by the Spirit of God. Because God wants us to live out his will. He wants us to fulfill the purpose that he's given us in life. But to do that, we must realize that natural bread is not enough. When we're determined to do God's will, he gives us the strength that's needed to rise above fatigue, above hardship, even the necessary things of this life, such as food, in our quest to satisfy him. Doing God's will even usurps hunger. Job also knew this way of life. He said in Job 23:12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So as I close, please hear this. The main business of life is not to avoid fatigue or weariness. It is not even to seek the desires of our natural man or our flesh. But the main business of this life is to do the will of God. Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of. And his meat was to do God's will. John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Bread is not enough. The only thing that will truly satisfy you as a child of God is to do the will of your Heavenly Father. Today, we start our first fast of 2017. As most of you know, we start each year off with the 21-day fast, church-wide fast. And I encourage you to participate in this fast in some way. I'm not asking you to fast for 21 straight days, but find a way during these 21 days to fast something. You can fast a meal a day. You can fast for an entire day. You can fast for 2 or 3 days. Some of you may even choose to do a Daniel fast, which is a very healthy way of fasting because the food that you eat is very, very healthy for you. I have instructions on the usher's table as to how to fast according to how Daniel fasted. It tells you foods to eat and foods that you cannot eat. There are some certain people who will choose to fast social media, television, or other types of worldly things that we engage in. Find something to fast and discipline yourself and stick to it. Bread is not enough. The things of this world are not enough. But through prayer and fasting, we discover God's will, not only for 2017, but also for the rest of your life. Through prayer and fasting, you can discover God's purpose for your existence. Your life is not in what you eat, but your life is in Christ Jesus. Jesus was led into the wilderness, and for 40 days, he did not eat anything. By going into the wilderness, he showed himself to be perfectly indifferent to the world. He was willing to get all alone. By fasting, he showed himself to be perfectly indifferent to what his flesh wanted. Satan cannot easily take hold of those who are loose from and dead to the world and their flesh. I'll say that again. Satan cannot easily take hold of anyone who is loose from the world and dead to their flesh. The more you keep your flesh subjected to your spirit man and bring your flesh under subjection to the things of God, please hear me, the less advantage Satan will have over you. He has no power other than what you give him. He has none. He has no power over you except the power you give him. Come out of the world and be ye separate from it. Do not allow your flesh man to dominate who you are as a person. This is a good time for you to break the power of your flesh over your spirit man. Prayer and fasting. And I can tell you this, fasting is a whole lot easier when you're doing it with somebody else. Amen. See, I know what Jesus went through. I've decided to fast on my own. That hurts much worse than when I'm involved in a church-wide fast. Jesus was assaulted by one temptation after another. But he held firm to God's word because he sought to live out God's will. And in doing so, he defeated the design of the tempter in every assault, and he became more than a conqueror. During the 40 days that he was tempted of the devil, he was successful because the prince of this world had nothing in him that he could use to get a foothold. And at the end of those 40 days, Jesus found himself nearer to God than he was in the beginning.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We hope you've been blessed. If you would like more information on our church, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. Be blessed and have a great week.